We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Does the Bible have anything to say about snobbery, favoritism, and prejudice? We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you first loved us. And because of that redeeming love which is ours in Jesus Christ, we pray, Holy Spirit, that we may love the Father, and that we may also love those who are round about us, that we may love one another in practical ways, where we may be rid of snobbery, favoritism, and prejudice. But, O God, we know that it is in our midst. It's often in our individual hearts, and sometimes it's found in the congregations and in the churches. Lord, free us of it. That's our prayer today that we ask in Christ's name. Amen. God's word as it is recorded in the second chapter of James, beginning with verse 1. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated against yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith, and to inherit the kingdom of God, the kingdom he promised those who loved him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, snobbery, favoritism, and prejudice are fruits of a sinful nature that have been with us since the fall. We never completely free ourselves from these sins. Therefore, James joins Jesus and the other biblical writers who counsel us against snobbery, favoritism, and prejudice. In his letter, beginning with the second chapter, verse 1, James says, "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism." Now that's pretty blunt, isn't it? Don't show favoritism. And notice to whom James is writing. "My brothers," and I believe you would say his sisters, "as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, these remarks by James are not addressed to an unbelieving world. They wouldn't make sense at all. Nor is this sermon addressed to those who do not believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But it is rather to those whose hearts have been touched by the Savior's love and who live in his grace day by day. Here we are to take serious what God says about prejudice, about snobbery, about favoritism, for it drives millions of people out of the relationship with God. James, in this text that is ours today that has been read for you, goes on to say it's like a meeting place. I'm going to say it's a church service. And here the ushers are gathered on a Sunday morning and they're standing out the door and they're passing out the bulletin. And here comes a person in James' day who is described as one with a big ring on and a very, very fancy coat. Wow, this man must be wealthy, and therefore he's very prominent in the community. And he has come to church. Well, all of a sudden, the ushers come to attention, and they say, we've got to find a place for that person. And another one says, but there isn't a place in the house. We'll make one. And so the head usher says, follow me, sir. We have a good place for you down in the front. And the people push together a little bit, and the man who is so prominent with all of his wealth is seated to enjoy the very fineness of accommodation. Now, the usher has no more than finished that chore when in comes a man who, because he has no money, is not very well dressed. In fact, he may even be in rags. What does the usher say to him? Well, he says, stand over there in the corner, or if you'd rather, you may sit at my feet. Now, this is just a picture story, but isn't it interesting? There is sometimes that kind of a treatment. Is that not right? It causes me to think of the Sunday when in our congregation we were taking in new members. And among them was the superintendent of schools, a prominent man in our community and a person who has a great deal of influence. When the service was over and I was standing visiting with another member, this person said, my, that is really something. The superintendent of schools is going to be a member of our congregation. Isn't that wonderful? And I said, yes, it is. I'm sure that he's going to be a fine addition to the congregation. I think highly of the person. But I just wanted you to know that in that same group, there was a man who joined today who happens to be on the custodial staff in one of our schools. And the fellow said, oh, is that right? And that was the end of the conversation. James goes on to say, that is not to take place among Christian people. After all, he says in verses 5 on, these are the people who can sometimes cause you trouble, those that you give greatest elevation to. No, hasn't God put faith in the heart of that poor man? And if he's put faith in his heart, then certainly you and I are the ones who are to treat him as an equal. Finally, James gets very firm and he says, if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. In other words, what the Word of God says, friend, is this. In the heart of the Christian, we are to be free of snobbery, favoritism, and prejudice. Now, where do these things show themselves? And obviously, when we say prejudice, the first that we think of is race. We continue to battle our prejudices when it comes to race. Now, I imagine that we can say that it is better now than it was years ago. But why is it better? It is better because government has established laws. And you live by the law, or you go to jail, or you pay a big fine. Laws can sometimes temper the situation just a little bit, but it never is a solution to the problem. For prejudice, if racial prejudice, for example, is only going to go away when there is a relationship between people of colors. In other words, unless I from my heart can say, I see no difference, this person is my brother or my sister in the Lord Jesus, I really have not broken down the prejudice. Otherwise, it's just a prejudice that says you have to do this and there's no question about it. And after we've done it long enough, we get used to it and we have a habit, and so we accept one another. But that's not breaking down the prejudice. The breaking down of prejudice comes from within. And that's why I address this sermon to you who are Christians who bear the name of Jesus Christ. It is only as the Holy Spirit, working through Christ Jesus our Lord, can change us from within. The snobbery, favoritism, and prejudice go away. But let's take another one of these prejudices, and that deals with wealth, doesn't it? The important people in town quite often are treated differently because they are important because of their wealth. They wealth seems to have a way of making very ordinary people extremely important. I remember that from the time that I was a little kid. I had a paper out, and the papers cost 3 cents a piece. So if you had a week's supply, six papers, you had to pay the paper boy 18 cents every Saturday when he came around to collect. Now, most of my customers were men who worked in the paper mill. And they paid me every week, and they'd give me two thin dimes, and I'd give them back two shiny pennies. And the bill was paid. Well, on a particular morning, if I was in a hurry, I could throw the paper, and I wasn't just as careful as I should have been. But I had a few wealthy people on my route. Those I knew had a lot of money. They drove a Packard car, and they went off in their nice suits to work and not overalls. And they took the paper, too, and I collected from them. Usually, they would give me two thin dimes and tell me to keep the change. You see, in my soul, in my mind, there was something about them that was just a little bit more important. A prejudice was being built. I don't know if that's true of all people, but I was a child of the Depression. And so there are other prejudices that go on. There's a prejudice as far as education is concerned. If you got a lot of education, then you were in a different strata of society. Folks who were only graduates of the eighth grade would often say we feel very inadequate when it comes to this matter of talking in the presence of educated people. And I'd say, educated people, well, yes, we may make a mistake in our grammar. And we get put into different categories and we're treated in different ways. Favoritism doesn't work in the church of Jesus Christ. I saw that so beautifully here not long ago. We have in our community a man who is gaining national prominence, the person of Senator Charles Grassley, who is the head of one of the very, very important committees in the government of our land right now. When I was a pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church, Chuck Grassley, who had been a friend of mine for a lot of years, would come to church once in a while. He was our senator, and when Senator Grassley came, I would acknowledge his presence there. He was the only person who I had acknowledged on that particular day, but I felt that it was necessary to let the people know that the senator was there. I believe Scripture says that we are to honor those who have been given positions of authority over us. And now, Senator Grassley is a very devout Christian man and is a member of the Baptist Church. And not long ago, I had the opportunity to preach in that Baptist church, and Senator Grassley was sitting there. I said to the pastor afterwards, do you recognize Senator Grassley? Well, why would I? He said, he's a member of our congregation. See, there he is at home. In the home congregation, there is no favoritism, senator or whatever you may be. But when you're out and you have a prominent position, it is even according to Scripture that you should acknowledge them. Here in this matter of prejudice, I need a savior. I need him badly because I am filled with prejudices. I pray regularly that they will be taken from me. But the only way that I know that it's going to happen is living closer and closer to the Lord Jesus. For you see, the Bible teaches clearly that in God's eyes, the human being is precious and important, not because of what he or she has accomplished, but because of who they are. They are created in God's image. They have a mind with which they can think, a will with which they can make a decision, and they have a soul that is immortal. The body is going to return to the dust, but the soul will return to God. All are equal in his eyes. God shows no favoritism. St. Paul writes this to the Romans in chapter 2, verse 11. There is none of this business that someday the judgment is going to come and I'm going to be able to stand before God if I'm a prominent person and say I'm so-and-so from history. And God is going to say, welcome here. And if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you may come in. And if you don't, you can't. There is no favoritism here. But the world has a different understanding of the human being. In the world's viewpoint, importance and worth are based on human accomplishment, the color of the skin, the family background, the educational advancement, or the financial worth. Now, these two views of the importance of the individual between God and our society clash. The point is that it is amazing how we who are Christians join unbelievers in accepting the world's view of the importance of the human being. It just should not be. This is where we must pray to the Holy Spirit, give us strength. Give us strength to wrestle against Satan. This is where we must really seek out divine help, for we wrestle against Satan. Some say, I have no prejudices. Are you sure? It is safe to say that on this planet, we will never be prejudice-free. This does not mean that we'll accept this lifestyle and say, I will live and do what I want to with my prejudice. I'm comfortable there. But it is to acknowledge that we always have to be fighting prejudice. Therefore, we get good advice from St. Paul when he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you might take your stand against the devil's schemes. Building prejudices, showing favoritism, being snobbish, are a part of Satan's plan over which only Jesus Christ can empower us to gain the victory. And so we pray today, come, Lord Jesus, and forgive us our sins, especially the sin of snobbery. Amen.
shines, blaze its flame, may brighter
Father in heaven, we thank you that in your kingdom there is no favoritism. We thank you that at the floor of the cross it is level, that we come as poor sinful beings, seeking mercy and help from you, and meeting a Father who cries out, "Welcome home, for my child who was lost has been found. He or she who was dead is alive." For your love, Lord Jesus, receive our thanks. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. We pray that the message and music in today's service have brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace. Share the word of Christian Crusaders with a friend, relative, or neighbor. By making more people aware, we can increase our radio and internet ministry by sharing the word and spreading the light so no one walks in darkness. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by gifts from our listeners. Anniversary Club members give a $1 gift for each year the ministry has served listeners. In 2003, an Anniversary Club gift is $67. We thank our listeners for your continued financial support. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in our 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcast.